بسم الله الرحمن الرحيم. الحمد لله رب العالمين، وأفضل الصلاة وأتم التسليم على أكرم الخلق سيدنا وحبيبنا ومولانا محمد وعلى آله وأصحابه أجمعين. أما بعد، amongst the golden words of wisdom from سيدنا لقمان رضي الله تعالى عنه the wise is to sit in the company of the learned pious scholars of Allah سبحانه وتعالى, for it is by means of their words of wisdom that Allah تعالى brings alive dead hearts, just as Allah Ta'ala brings alive a dead piece of land by beneficial rains. We are fortunate to have that opportunity with us today, in that I have the great honor and pleasure of introducing our respected and honorable guest, my most respected Ustaz, Qari Rashid Dabalia Sahib of Lanesia. He has been an Ustaz at Darul Ulum Zakaria for many years, specializing among the senior Ustaz in Hadith as well as jurisprudence and Arabic literature, as well as conducting many, many beneficial programs in various masajid in Lanesia over the years. Qari Sahib is also renowned for his humility and lofty character and great words of wisdom in his thinking and advice and counseling. Inshallah, we listen attentively and take the maximum benefit from the advices to be rendered, inshallah.
Alhamdulillah. Alhamdulillah wa kafa wa salamun ala ibadihi alladhina istafa ma ba'd. فقد قال الله تعالى في القرآن المجيد والفرقان الحميد أعوذ بالله من الشيطان الرجيم بسم الله الرحمن الرحيم يعلم أنما الحياة الدنيا لعب وله وزينة وتفاخر بينكم وتكاثر في الأموال والأولاد وقال النبي صلى الله عليه وسلم الدنيا سجن المؤمن وجنة الكافر أو كما قال عليه الصلاة والسلام السلام عليكم ورحمة الله وبركاته. Honorable elders, respected brothers and friends, I wonder if you ever visited a prison. Obviously, not staying in a prison is not a nice place to stay. But if you ever visited a prison and noted how a prisoner lives his life, our discussion is on a prisoner today. I had the opportunity many years ago of visiting a prison in the Eastern Transvaal, a maximum security prison, and the Muslim inmates that were there. But what we want to highlight is the life of a prisoner. How does he live? The few things that we can highlight of a prisoner. Number one, and these are the things that I noted, and most probably you'll understand what we are discussing, this tour in a prison where there are inmates, how is their life? Number one is the prisoner hasn't got freedom of dressing. He cannot dress the way he wants to dress. He's got a special suit that the prison authorities give him, and he dresses according to that. If he wishes to wear a jeans and a t-shirt, they'll tell him you are in a prison. You must dress according to the laws and the regulations of the prison. So the first thing we'll highlight is a prisoner hasn't got freedom of dressing. Number two is he hasn't got freedom as far as food, drinking and eating. He cannot eat what he desires. He cannot drink what he desires. If he wants, example, and the brothers that visit the prisons will know, you can't take biryani and samosas for him because his system won't digest it. He's given a special diet so that he doesn't get too energetic. So he's given a specific diet. He hasn't got freedom of eating and drinking. He can only drink certain things. He can only eat certain things. So the second point we'll highlight, and that is freedom of food or drinking. Number three is freedom of action. Can he do what he wants to do? There's a prisoner in the prison. He wants to go sleep at a certain time, or he wants to go out in the open at a certain time. Is he allowed to do it? We'll say no. He's got a specific schedule, a specific program. Wake up at this time, sleep at that time, be in your cell at this time. His freedom of action also is limited. He cannot do what he wants to. And the fourth thing, and that is freedom of time. His time also is scheduled. He can't do at any time what he wants to. His time is also limited. From certain time to certain time you'll do this, from this time you'll do this. So basically we've highlighted four things for a prisoner: freedom of dressing, freedom of eating and drinking, freedom of his time, and freedom of his action. These four things are denied to a certain extent compared to the remainder citizens of this country. After we've understood this is a life of a prisoner, the hadith which I recited, Nabi Kareem sallallahu alayhi wa sallam says, Al-Dunya Sijnul Mu'min, that this world that we are in, this blue canopy that we see in the clouds that we see above us, and the seven continents that all this human race is living in, we as Muslims, we are living in a prison. Al-Dunya, this world, and whatever it contains, all the continents, me and you are prisoners in this world. This is what Nabi Kareem sallallahu alayhi wa sallam is addressing me and you, are saying we are living in a prison. So let's apply these four rules that we've just said a prisoner has to ourselves now, and ask us, if I've got freedom of dressing, if I want to be on a beach semi-naked, can I dress the way I want to? If I want to be in the park like how the Yahud and the Nasara dress, can I dress like that? A Muslim is a prisoner in this dunya. He hasn't got freedom of dressing, male and female, the way she wants to dress. She'll have to dress and he'll have to dress according to the commands. We are not prisoners to mankind. We are prisoners to the command of Allah and His Rasul sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. Alhamdulillah. We are not prisoners to man-made laws. We are prisoners to the divine law of Almighty Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. So we haven't got freedom of dressing the way we want to dress, as much as maybe hot, it must be cold, whichever way. We cannot dress the way we want to. For a male, he'll close his satr from below his navel till below his knee. It will be covered. For a female, she'll be also a prisoner to the commands of Allah and His Rasul sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, according to the Quran, where she will be closing herself and veiling herself, because she is a prisoner. A Muslim is a prisoner to the commands of Allah and His Rasul in this dunya. Number two is freedom of, we are speaking, freedom of eating and drinking. Can a Muslim eat and drink the way everything that we want? We have got certain divine laws, and there's a lot of wisdom and hikmat in there. Why we cannot eat pork? Why we cannot have meat from that haram animal? There's many wisdoms and many reasons ulama have written, and two instincts are in that animal of the pork that people consume, and that is, one is behayai, it's haven't got modesty, it's shameless, and number two, that animal is dirty and filthy, it lives in filth and dirt. So the effect of what they say in English, you are what you eat, and the doctors, Dr. Sab is sitting here also, and they'll say that the diet that we have, according to that, is how our body is going to function. If you're going to eat the flesh of that animal, the same instincts are going to come of us, of immodesty, of living in such a culture where there is dirt and filth. So a Muslim hasn't got freedom of eating and drinking what he wants, and drinking also what he wants. And the reason why we discuss this, we are in such a season. I was just sitting with a young person once, and we know it's season, we all go on holidays, going to the different destinations. And he was telling me, Maulana, for breakfast we ordered bacon. For breakfast we ordered bacon. And we know, Jay, what's it made of. Do we lose ourselves? We are prisoners to the command of Allah. We can't eat certain things, we can eat certain things. We cannot eat this thing because the effects of that, and the Shariat has given the rulings for it. So we cannot, as much as we want to eat what we want, it's not like the Yahud and the Nasara, we are binded, we are prisoners to the command of Allah as far as our eating. And another young man I met from Durban, and he was saying, Maulana, I went to meet this young woman and I intended to marry her. But as we were sitting at the restaurant and she ordered, when you said, let's order a drink, what you want to drink? So she ordered beer and she ordered the remainder haram intoxicants that are available. I got a shock of my life. This is where the ummah is heading. We cannot drink what we want to. Yesterday's statistics I was hearing on the radio about the accidents plus minus, we know how many tolls. But they were saying the fatal accidents, from that fatal accidents, they were giving statistics of so many accidents. Amongst them, they were saying half of them were women drivers that are intoxicated. This is the society that we are living, it's a reality, and we have to accept it. This is where their culture is leading them. We, as prisoners to the command of Almighty Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, our food and our intake is also regulated by the commands of Allah and His Rasul sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. The third thing we were speaking, and that is freedom of action. That prisoner in the prison cannot do what he wants to. He is binded by certain regulations, be it Today, we and you as Muslims, we are binded in our business life with certain rules and regulations. This is halal, this is haram, this you can consume, this you can deal in, this you can't deal in. And likewise in our social life, in our all our other aspects of our life, we are binded from our freedom of action. We can do this, we can't do this, we can go here, we can't. Like the prisoner can't say, I want to go out of the prison, it's my freedom. And I want my freedom as prisoners to the command of Almighty Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. We can visit certain places and we can't visit certain places. As much as the dunya will be celebrating tonight at the different parties, so on and so forth, we'll say, hold it. There's a limit here. I'm a prisoner to the command of Allah. I can be in this place and I cannot be in this place tonight. So freedom of action. And number four is we're talking of freedom of time. Our freedom of time is also curbed. We've got certain times we have, and this is where programming of a computer we learned, and this is how they evolved, all these different sciences that came around. And that is, by Fajr I have to be up, by Zuhur I have to be back in the masjid, we've got a program. Our freedom of time, you say, no, now it's business, Mulana, aaj to chello darosha. Jetla paiha banawan, 2010 is finished now. We have to make the last bucks for today. Now is a new financial report. We've got freedom of action. Now is Jummah time. We're going to close the shop. We're going to do this. Freedom of our time is also curbed in certain aspects. For the next Asr time, we have to be back in the masjid for the next, I'm giving an example. So our freedom of time is also curbed. This is basically the life of a prisoner in a prison, and we apply it to ourselves. Not feeling guilty in any way, when I'm speaking, brother Muslims, feel we all guilty here and we're sitting here as guilty. He's just explaining this hadith that we are prisoners to the command of Almighty Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. And the second part of the hadith says, wa jannatul kafir. And this dunya, this earth and whatever, all the continents, whatever we find, it is a jannat. Jannat means paradise. For a disbeliever, he can, and what a person is going to do in jannah, jannat basically means walakum fiha ma tashtahi anfusukum walakum fiha ma tad'un. That do as your nafs desires. Whatever you will be desiring in Jannah, you will get. You want to eat, whatever you desire will be there. You can enjoy yourself, you can enjoy yourself. So in the same way, a disbeliever will be using all these freedoms that we have spoken about to fulfill his desire. If it means that I have to fulfill my desire with a male to male or female to female relationship, then he'll say, it's my freedom, it's my constitutional right which I have been given. So for him it is Jannah. This dunya and whatever they are living in, for them, the hadith says that for them it is freedom, liberation in the aspect of their own lives. But that the ayah which I have recited, and that we understand that how does a person think and what is our object in life, that when this is the dunya, this is our dunya, and this is, we came here as prisoners. Ulama have written in the light of this ayat that a man's brain functions psychologically in five stages. First is when a child is born, what's his life? Then he goes to become a toddler, then he becomes a young man, and then he grows older, and then he grows older. Every 8 years, a person's psychology, a person's mentality, outlook, thinking changes. The ayat says five things. Inna wal hayatu dunya laib. This worldly life is laib. In Arabic, laib means that we live or like children, small children who will be building blocks, making castles. What's the benefit? No benefit. They made the castle on the beach and they broke the castle. What benefit? No benefit. So the first 8 years of a child's life is playing with such toys. Nowadays, the things, in today's time, the ayat will have to be reinterpreted in the sense that we've got different games and so on for children. But generally, the first 8 years of a child's life is playing with all these useless things where there's no benefit. Here the child is 8 years, the next 8 years comes. Now he says, no, lahun. Innamal hayatu dunya la'imu wa lahu. Lahwa in Arabic means that you do such a thing which there's a little benefit to the body. For example, exercising, running, playing soccer, playing cricket, whatever. There's a benefit to a certain extent where a person benefits physically. His body does get benefit. It's not completely useless, we'll say. Number three, after that, when that person, that young person is now 16 years old, now where does the thinking go? So Almighty Allah says, after that, wazina. Now the person says, hey, this is not my life, man. My life is now must wear designer clothing, designer shoes, and designer trousers, and everything must match. You want to become smart. It's called in Arabic zinat. Now that young man or that young woman is interested in adorning himself or herself in a smart way, so the next 8 years goes in fashion, in the latest fashion, so on and so forth, and then the next year, 8 years, by that time that young person is, brothers can add, I'm sure, 8 plus 8 plus 8, we all went to school, 24 years, the next 8 years of that person's life, you say, no man, I wasted my time playing with that Monopoly, I wasted my time another 8 years playing this cricket and soccer, and I wasted my another 8 years wearing designer clothing. What is needed now is this. This is what people are loving with fulus, and that is money. And now he says, it's time to make money. From 24 till 32, his brain is focused on making money. Now I need money. When he reaches that stage of 32, and he looks around himself, he says, oh, the others are also driving the same cars that I've got, and the latest BMW, and the latest Merc, and the latest Ferrari. Then he says, no man, now, you know, if you're driving alone in a Ferrari, it's not good. You need somebody next to you. You need to get married. So his interest goes now into wife and children. For the next 8 years, his focus in life is marriage, wife and children. By that fifth cycle of his, he's reached 5 times 8, he's reached the age of 40. And now when you reach the age of 40, you realize, what's my object of life? What did I come here? Why did Allah send me in this dunya to fulfill my nafs and desires, live like an animal, like the others who are living, and just fulfill our needs and desires? Now when hit the age of 40, the person realizes, ad-dunya mazratul akhirah. Allah didn't send me to this dunya to make my dunya. Allah didn't send me to the dunya for this. Allah sent me for a greater object, for his worship and to serve humanity at large. Allah sent me for these two things, to worship my Creator, to get close to my Creator after 40 years. That's too late by the time a person realizes. So this is the reality of our life, and this is the reality of circumstances that are around us and our way of thinking. May Almighty Allah grant us the tawfiq to understand that we are prisoners to the command of Almighty Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala and to the sunnah of Nabi Kareem sallallahu alaihi wasallam. We haven't got that freedom of action the way we want and what we want to do. We are limited as Muslims in our actions, in our ways, in our dressing, of how we conduct ourselves. And number two is that our thinking, that this dunya, our abode, our staying here in this dunya, like it said, hubbud dunya ra'su kullu khati, love of this dunya, love of the material things is the root of all sins. And if we're not saying don't have dunya, if that's the case, then you'll tell me, Maulana, take out your money also, give it to us. You're telling us mustn't love. We have to have dunya. Who said we don't have to have dunya? We need dunya. We need all the material things. But the love of material things shouldn't be more than the love, ahabba ilaykum min Allahi wa rasulihi wa jihadin fi sabili. That it shouldn't be more than the love of Allah, more than the love of Nabi Kareem sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, and more than the love of just sacrificing for the sake of deen, for the sake of sacrificing for the benefit of humanity and mankind. May Allah grant us the tawfiq to understand our object in life. We don't want to reach the age of 40 and then decide that now I have to change my direction. I have wasted 40 years of my life and now I have to get where I want to get, and that is the akhirat. 3 days are important in a person's life, concluding with his comments. Isa alayhi salam has highlighted these 3 important days. He says in the Quran, Almighty Allah says, وَالسَّلَامُ عَلَيَّ يَوْمَ وُلِدْتُ وَيَوْمَ أَمُوتُ وَيَوْمَ أُبْعَثُ حَيَّ. 3 days are important. I know in the other world we'll say, my birthday and then my 21st is more important, and then my marriage day is important in my life. Isa alayhi salam, whom the Christians follow, says 3 days are important in your life, the day you were born. Wassalamu alayya yawma wulidtu, the day I was born, Allah's salamati and peace, the day I came into this world, Isa alayhi salam. The second day, and he says, it's going to still happen, Isa alayhi salam is coming back to this dunya. Wassalamu alayya yawma wulidtu wa yawma amut, and the day I will leave the world. So the second important day in our life is the day we leave. How are we going to leave? Are we going to leave with the shahada, with the kalima on our tongue? Are we going to leave this world on the ways of the Yahud and the Nasara? How are we going to leave? That's an important, critical moment of our life, the day we are leaving this world. And number three, وَيَوْمَ أُبْعَثُ حَيَّا, and the day we stand in front of Almighty Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, only two things can stop us from sins. Nobody can stop us from sins. Number one is the fear of Allah. There's no other system, no other constitution, no other way that can stop this human race from breaking the commands of Almighty Allah and going onto a rampage and bringing animal instincts in them, except number one, the fear of Allah, and number two is reckoning in front of Almighty Allah. I've spent 60 years, 40 years, 30 years, we have to account for every word that we said, every deed that we did. That's the only thing that can stop a human being from being disobedient to Almighty Allah. May Allah grant us the reality of the Quranic ayah that I've recited, and that is, we're going through these five stages, let us correct our direction and know that we are living in a prison, but not the prison that we are speaking about, the maximum security prison. This prison, there's many other interpretations of this hadith. When we'll go in the Akhirah, and we'll go see the Akhirah, then we'll realize, when Allah will give a mu'min, a Muslim Jannah, then we'll realize that what we were living in was a prison. This is the second interpretation of the hadith. That means that we are living with so many limitations, we haven't got freedom of all these things. When we'll go in the Akhirat, and Allah will say, "Wa walakum fiya ma tashtahi anfusukum." Here's the woman of Jannah. One hur of Jannah, in the narrations it comes, she'll have 70 layers of clothing. And through the 70 layers of clothing, you'll see the marrow in a bone. That's how pure and clean the woman of Jannah will be. I'm just giving an example. When you'll realize and you'll see the hereafter, then a person will realize he was living in a prison, and wa jannatul kafir. And when a kafir will see the torment and the punishment and the suffering of Jahannam, he'll say, "I was better off in this world. I had liberty and freedom and I had all the enjoyment. But now when you see the punishment there, wa jannatul kafir, this was jannat for him, and that he's going to suffer." May Almighty Allah grant us the tawfiq to make amal on this hadith and the ayah of the Quran. Wa ma alayna illa al-balagh.
Jazakumullah khairan to Hazrat Qari Sahib for those most beautiful words of wisdom and advice. May Allah Ta'ala reward him abundantly for the sacrifice of his valuable time to be with us, inshallah. Also, very, very important announcement is that we are probably well aware of the precarious situation, the desperate situation being experienced in a part of our country, in the Beaufort West area, in the Cape provinces. Beaufort West and surrounding areas, one is they usually have very limited rainfall and are highly dependent on the dams that are the water supply. However, the dam has completely dried up, and the little water that is in store, the problem there is the purification system is also down and being repaired at the moment. So the little water that is available in the area can only be used for washing clothes or bathing, etc. Very shortly put, there is no drinking water available at present. Therefore, an appeal has gone out for as much support as possible in this regard. They have even gone to the extent of appealing that people who are traveling to and from Cape Town should at least take some bottles of water and leave it at the various garages on the way. Now, alhamdulillah, we have been blessed the opportunity by Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala to today's Jumu'ah collection, inshallah, after the Jumu'ah Salah, will be dedicated to the water project, mainly for drinking water to be supplied to Beaufort West and all the surrounding areas. Under normal circumstances, the need is 9 million liters a day. At present, in the dire situation, they are making do with 4.5 million liters of water a day. Let us, inshallah, open up our hearts, donate as generously as possible. One of the best forms of sadaqah, one of the best means of gaining closeness to Allah Ta'ala, and one of the best forms of sadaqah jariyah for ourselves or for those of family members who have deceased and passed on is by means of water. Let us, inshallah, contribute generously. Be aware, inshallah, that the collection will only be from lillah funds. No zakah contribution should be made. Only lillah funds to be given for this most noble project of water. And who knows, this is a means of da'wah towards the beautiful deen of Islam, inshallah, in the long term to come. So let us open up our hearts, donate as generously as possible on an individual basis. A tanker load of water, the water is being transported from Cape Town, which contains approximately 32,000 liters of water, costs 7,000 rand. A tanker load of water, 32,000 liters, costs 7,000 rand. So the collection after the Jumu'ah Salah, inshallah, will be for the water project. Let us, inshallah, donate as generously as possible. And for those who may not have brought the money along with, in the coming few days, two or three days inshallah, we can still make the contributions, hand it over to any of the imams inshallah. Jazakallah.